podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Churros, the Tacticus Podcast. I'm your host, Keon Sabani. It is Tuesday, joined by my good friend, arch rival, arch enemy, BFF, frenemy, Diego Lorin. And we are here for part one and part two. Part two coming up later for our patrons over on patreon.com/churrosytacticus. Our patrons, they love stirring the pot, so a lot of juicy questions have been submitted per usual. Stick around for that, part two. Part one happening right now. It's our first conversation since A, Sergio Ramos scored an own goal against Barcelona, sending the streets of Barcelona into delirium, and Diego Lorin having the orgasm of his life on the couch on a Friday night. What a wild Friday night for Diego and all culés. And also, Real Madrid's big 3-0 win over Girona, which we were... And for Ramos himself. I'm not sure what you mean by that. I'll ask you to elaborate in a second. But also, this is Real Madrid 3, Girona 0. And I was super worried about that game because Girona were flying high. We got the job done there. So, Diego, welcome. What do you mean? Elaborate.
For Ramos himself, I don't know if you saw the pre-match interview, and he said he was asked what it would be like, I guess, or if it what it would be like to score his first goal for Sevilla against Barça. You know, the answer was like, "Oh yeah, hopefully it would be great to score against Barça." And then obviously that was used against him. That was that, times were good then. That was seems like ages ago. Things have certainly evolved since then.
Literally, it's recent. It's the last game that Barcelona played in La Liga. But you're right, it does seem like forever ago. News moves fast in this industry. I got to tell you, I'm just going to take the L on the chin. I think Almada Diaz has just got to take the L on Friday night. That was just a terrible, terrible night for us, you know, seeing Sergio Ramos. Kind of like, in my opinion, not that it matters, a little bit unlucky. I thought he had a good game and just wrong place at the wrong time and redirecting it into his own net. And obviously no one cares that he had a good game otherwise, because the memes already were written. The meme football gods had already wrote the script, and that's the way it went down. So nevertheless, I thought Barca deserved to win anyway. I thought they were the better team. And we got a title race, my friend.
Indeed, we do. Look, I agree with everything you said so far. Ramos had a decent game, and Barça deserved the win despite the narrow scoreline and still football that left things to desire on behalf of Barça. All in all, I think the 3 points were deserved, and what was important at the end of the day, of course, was getting them in the bag. Unfortunately, at the very end, by any means, and thanks to our good pal Sergio Ramos, who we know watches this pod, which is which is such an odd thing.
Some people, last time you mentioned that, some people in the comments were skeptical. They were like, "How do you know Ramos watches?" You just have to trust us. You just have to trust us. What is that? Are you drinking out of a salt shaker? That's the most narrow cup I've ever seen.
My friend, welcome to Europe, where we drink espresso from a very tiny cylinder shape.
My gripe with Europe is this, that you guys have great coffee. The espressos are delicious, but it's just so small. I need something like this. Like when I go to Spain, I don't want to go to fucking Starbucks. That's a horrible thing to do. You want to support the real... the coffee roasters are local places in Spain. And I'm like, can you just give me Americano Largo and mucho agua caliente? And still, like, it's the biggest they can give me is just, like, this little, like, espresso cup with just a little bit more hot. I just need the big coffee. It's my vice. It's my westernized side just coming into fruition. I need the big coffee. That's my only gripe with Spain.
You like, it's classic North American, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, to see you guys on the go with a massive mug, like a gallon of Americano, coffee Americano, and that's sets you. I mean, that must last you an entire day or like a good working day. 8 hours? Well, how long are you sipping from that?
I'd say like 30 minutes.
What?
Because at some point the temperature drops too much and it just no longer tastes good and you
Right.
don't finish it. So like
Okay.
you need the sweet.
So then you chuck it?
I will kind of just sip on it
So in
cold
the end,
or
you're
drink
probably
it fast
drinking
before it gets
what
cold.
you're. So we give you a serving size, whereas there you just like the grandness of it, but then in the end you chuck 2/3 of it.
The truth is somewhere in the middle. We need something in between the espresso
Isn't everything
and
like
in
that?
between the coffee. We need something like, it's not quite big enough, but it doesn't stay quite hot enough. I'm gonna invest in one of those. My dad told me about this. There's this little like cup warmer you can get. You can plug in. You put the coffee cup on it, and the base of it just keeps the coffee cup warm, so that you can just drink it throughout the day. Do you guys
So
have?
tell me last do how are those heart palpitations that you get? Like, are you just used to that or
No, I don't get them. I don't get them. I honestly don't, 'cause I don't drink that much
No,
coffee. I
really?
do maximum 2 a day, and I cut it off like after like noon. I usually don't do coffee. I'll switch to herbal tea.
Okay. Okay. You counterbalance it. Well, listen, what you just said, I feel like we'll set this pod or this two-parter podcast up nicely. I think the truth is in the middle. That's sort of the theme of what will be this podcast. But I see what you mean that that yes, like the sizes that you drink over there are, in my perspective, one hand ridiculous.
They are
I'm
unnecessarily
glad we don't
large.
have that
Yes,
here.
everything, not just coffees. Like things that you buy in the grocery store, the serving sizes of the food, everything is just unnecessarily large here.
Yes.
That's a deviation
So
and a
Canada is
fascinating
like
subject,
is
but I don't
Canada
want to get
is
into it now.
last one because I've actually never been to Canada. Canada
Yeah.
is same but different as the US of A.
Yes, I would say so.
Okay.
Like everything is just bigger. Everything, Diego,
Yeah,
everything. Everything is bigger. Everything you can imagine in your head right now is just bigger. Everything.
certainly not everything. I mean, everything, any manufactured thing, certainly not biological. If that, yes.
Things just get enhanced the more the bigger your serving sizes are. Everything just gets enhanced here. All right, Diego. So
So, dude, yes. This is crazy. It feels like a lifetime ago that Barça Sevilla. And it seems like a lifetime ago, even Madrid Girona, or Girona Madrid, I should say. Of course, you guys are pumped for Napoli,
That's the
which,
thing. Like it moves so fast. We play tonight against Napoli. You play tomorrow against Porto. And by the time people listen to this one, it's very possible that, they'll already know the result of Real Madrid Napoli. So I thought we could kind of stick to the La Liga aspect of it. And I don't know like how much to really preview, especially the Real Madrid game tonight. Because the window is so small before the game starts. But what were your reflections on the weekend? Like, where do you want to start there?
My biggest takeaway is that Atletico is in this for real. Like, this is gonna be not just a two-horse race. I think, last time we did the mailbag, not long ago, but we were asked, of course, as well as at the beginning of the season, but we were asked about our predictions and I was pretty adamant that this was going to be just, the two big guns going at it, whereas Atletico would drop off. But I have since quickly, I should say, been I stand corrected, or at least I want to say I've changed my opinion about it. Let's be I'll be 100% clear, because I think we're seeing actually an Atletico that will come out to contend until, this La Liga season until the very end. So let's just say that'll be my first big takeaway before delving into the Barça Madrid topics.
Here's a question for you. You know, so much over the last few years, especially the last couple of years, the story has been La Liga sucks. La Liga's on a decline. So here's a question for you. Is La Liga underrated now? This year, we've had a ton of goals. Teams are scoring like crazy. Real Sociedad looks great. Atletico looks great. Girona looks great. I don't know how sustainable Girona is. Like, I don't know by the end of the season if they're even going to be top seven, with all due respect.
But dude, they do look great. Like, Cadiz look great. You know, the Cadiz have been a headache for all the big teams so far. So it's and from the reason I start the pod with this, and sorry to jump in here, Kian, but is these games against Cadiz are the games where you drop points, or where you normally see teams drop points, like an Atletico and even Barça, which we have, of course, that slowly but surely add up and kind of take a team out of the title race. But when, you know, I saw Atletico win this one with a narrow 3-2 win, and I forget now the exact order of it, but I want Cadiz, I think, scored two in the first half. Before Atletico then finally got the winner, and you know that's and they've been, you know, that's coming off the back of a massive derby where they finally managed to win against Madrid as well. Like, I mean, I'm just saying that, like, they're proving their worth. They're in a good moment, and I see them going until the end. And you know, Girona, I think asking if La Liga is underrated is 100% truthful, or it's a truthful statement, because even a Girona that has been okay, they lost 3-0, but I think, you know, it took you guys a lot to get over that hump. I even think, you know, in the opening, what was it, 15-20 minutes?
Yeah,
I felt that Girona was very much in it.
We could have been down one or two goals in the first 5 minutes, and that would have changed everything.
Correct. So yeah, it's you know, little things that tip the scale in the end. But in the overall perspective, to get back to the question, you know, you have Betis that are still in decent form, coming off a 3-0. There's very good football here, and I think, you know, starting with myself, I probably underrated La Liga maybe at this point, and I'm curious to see what these teams to do on the international stage, of course, as well, like Real Sociedad in Europe and etc.
I think. The one thing that I've been pleasantly surprised with is the amount of goals. Because a lot of my complaints in the last couple of years, and this is like statistically backed up, right? Especially during COVID, teams were just really conservative with their tactics. And the amount of goals that were scored in La Liga were just so much lower than the other big five leagues. You had a lot of nil-nils, 1-0s, like low-scoring games, and it was just boring. Like, it felt like a chore sitting down and watching La Liga game when that wasn't the case growing up. Growing up, it was always like, I can't wait. You know, this is a big occasion. It's even the smaller games, you would throw them on with your dad and your family. You'd watch them, and it was really fun. In the last couple of years, and especially during COVID, it just felt like a chore. Like, even watching Real Madrid, the team that I love, it felt a bit a bit of a chore, because it was like, you know, it's not going to be that eventful. There's going to be conservatism. You're facing a low block, and you got to squeak by with a 1-0. I mean, this was the case also under Zidane's last year. That year he won the title, it was scraping by with 1-0s. And like, again, there's nothing theoretically fundamentally wrong with it. I'm just speaking honestly as a football fan. It was just hard to watch. And this season, there's just been more goals. A lot of teams are scoring. I also think when you think about a team like Villarreal, for example, who is struggling based on their standards, just 2 wins from 8 games, 2 draws, 4 losses, -3 goal differential. I also, like, just watching their games, I feel like they're better than their results have shown. And I even think back to the Barca game where I thought they played really well for like 60% of that game and then just ran out of gas and lost. they clearly have a lot of talent, and I feel like they'll regroup and get into the European zones as well. So it's just kind of like more fun this year, that's all. And I'm happy to say that. I'm happy to report it. So far, so good. I like La Liga. It's been fun. It's been fun. Even Almeria, man. I've had a lot of fun watching Almeria, even though they're 20th.
The 3-3.
Last place. They've also been fun to watch.
Yeah. And there's more talent brewing. Like, there's so much more talent. You know, the Betis kid, who, quite frankly, I didn't know much before this season. What's his name? Asane Diao? Diao?
Yeah.
You know, much hype about him this season, and games like that, like the one off against Valencia, showcase that, you know, there is still so much future and raw good talent, young talent here in La Liga as well. And that's something to be nourished, and hopefully won't be whisked away to the east like we saw with ¿cómo se llama? Valladolid youngster. Celta youngster, sorry.
Oh, Gabi Vega.
Vega.
Are we calling Saudi Arabia the East now?
Well, the Middle East. It's you're going east. If we're considered the West, they would be considered the East.
Well, you're considered the East.
If we would have an all-star game between West versus East or East versus West, they would be playing on the East.
How would you do that if you did an all-star game? Would you do East versus West, like Western Hemisphere versus Eastern Hemisphere? Or would you do a draft?
At some point.
Like the way the NBA does it now.
I mean, to keep it fair, a draft, obviously. It would be sheer another annihilation otherwise.
What do you mean? You think who wins?
I mean, right now, still the West.
What
leagues are we talking about?
Let me clarify.
It's like UEFA leagues, any league.
I'm thinking of players from South America, for example, versus players from Europe.
That's a different story. Okay, like Southern Hemisphere, Northern Hemisphere. That's like that's what you're saying. Sorry. Okay, they do that in rugby. You know, they do that in rugby. It's very entertaining. And the what's fun about it is that the scale tips, you know, according to the years, and that's a lot of fun to watch. Like, sometimes the talent will be rife and in abundance in the north, and other times there is a plethora in the southern hemisphere. So it's like now, for example, the World Cup is being dominated by the northern hemisphere countries.
You know what I would do? This would be fun. And I actually, like, I hate the idea of an all-star game in football, because it would be, in my opinion, awful. It would be a pickup game with no defense. No one would care. Obviously, you don't want to see anyone get injured, so no one really should care. And there's already too much football. But if you were to do something really fun, you know what I would do, Diego? I would do something like, let's say, South America All-Stars versus European All-Stars. And to make it interesting so that it's just not a boring friendly, you put whichever continent wins gets, like, I don't know, a couple extra spots at the World Cup. Like, you'd
That's
actually
not bad.
maybe that'll be incentive for them to actually try.
That's not bad at all.
Thank you.
That
just thought of it.
You see the more talented. It's good.
You haven't brought it up yet.
So La Liga is underrated. Before we continue, where do you see the European teams or the teams competing in Europe? Do you see them go far? You see Real Sociedad getting out of their group, for example?
They play Salzburg today in the early kickoff. And
that was a fun derby, man. That was a fun derby. I'm going back to La Liga.
I'm trying to figure out, like, who you're talking about. Salzburg's derby? You're talking about Real Sociedad's derby? You're talking
no,
about
I'm talking
derby?
About Real Sociedad. Yeah. Yes.
Yes. I don't know. Today's game will tell us quite a bit. You know, the thing with Real Madrid and Barcelona's group, for example, is that we can afford to lose a couple games in the group and still qualify.
You maybe, that definitely not us.
Well, you guys have like group of life, don't you? It's like the easiest group ever. Like just like every year,
Yeah,
you
but
guys have
we
the
that's
easiest group.
why I don't want to listen. We're not no, we cannot lose any game right now. No, not in the Champions League, not in this group, bro.
I just feel like
Madrid can, yes.
Inter are clearly the best in that group, in my opinion. I just think like with Salzburg, like the two games versus Salzburg are going to be quite telling for Real Sociedad, how that goes. So I don't know. I just feel like their margin of error is a little bit less. The problem we've seen, Diego, with all these kind of B-tier Spanish teams, like after you get past Real, Barca, Atletico in Europe, is that their squads are just thinner than Real and Barca. So it's, and they just spread themselves so thin. Sometimes it just is smarter to prioritize the league. And that's what always makes it difficult for them to go far in Europe. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's just tougher. Like when you're trying to juggle playing your best players, it's just tougher to do that every single game. So it and their squads are just not as deep. So I wanted to bring to you, like I was just looking, we have maybe 5 more minutes in part one. Part two is really fun questions. There's also a question about this La Liga team of the century that was just released by some outlet, and they want our comment on it. It's basically a Real Barca 11. So there are things that I'm very fun excited to talk to you about in part two on patreon.com/churros y tacticas. But I'm kind of surprised that you didn't bring up this, I don't know, this former police guy, commissioner, and his words in the Catalan radio. Did you see this?
Of course, I saw it, my good friend.
Okay. When were you planning on bringing it up? Or did you feel like it was just not worth bringing up?
My friend, I've already brought it up in the past, and whenever I do, I get laughed out of the room and chastised and mocked online. So
I feel like in this situation you should
it's for me,
too,
it's nothing new.
but so you saw Real Madrid's statement taking immediate legal action against this guy, right? Who is a criminal?
Yeah, it's funny. Like the Madrid newspapers don't report on Villarejo, but they report on the statement being put out by the club. So again, it's all part of the same story, the same narrative. I mean, we will never, hopefully in my kids' lifetime, they will uncover the story behind Florentino Pérez, the power of him and the institution of Real Madrid, where even the president of La Liga says the guy is untouchable. He never loses. So there's such a fear factor around Florentino Pérez. It's amazing. But
But the reason I bring it up willingly, and like the reason I'm bringing this up and kind of
well,
diving into it,
I expect managing Madrid to get down to the bottom of this,
the
do a
bottom
full
is that,
reporting on
I mean,
this.
Managing Madrid just reported that Real Madrid put a statement about it. They're not going to share opinions on it. But the reason I bring it up is because this, Villarejo cat has just been in and out of these criminal proceedings for multiple years now. He's not really a guy you take seriously. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on it
No, don't
because.
say that. Don't say that. Don't say that. Because what he is, he's the former commissioner of the National Police. Okay. That, yes, he has been involved with so many scandals that have occurred in Spain in recent years that have him as one of the key figures. Okay. Cases such as Operación Catalunya or whatever that was called, the Gürtel case, espionage of politicians, of judges, scandals involving the La Casa Real, the royal family. He has recordings on end. He's been on a key figure in all of these, okay? But thanks to him, Kian, as well, you say he's a criminal. You obviously want to smear him as much as possible now that he has brought Your Holiness,
Oh yeah,
Florentino Pérez
he's the
into the
one being
picture.
smeared, not Real
No,
Madrid.
I get that. I get that. No, Real Madrid never gets smeared. So let's be upfront and, about that.
Yeah,
but the
yeah,
point is that I understand your intent now to smear him, but it is... Oh, never. Real Madrid have never been smeared. Is that
this is literally being smeared when someone goes on radio and makes shit up. That's a smear campaign.
He's the first one. How do you know he's making it up? He's not making it up.
Show the evidence.
Things that he has come out. Exactly. Show the evidence. I stand with you on that one, Kian. 100%. Show the evidence, and somebody or an institution is innocent until proven guilty. I want to see the evidence too, Kian. And I want to see the evidence of supposed bribery of Fútbol Club Barcelona or their presidents, past presidents and the current one, to get referees to vote in our favor, to make decisions in our favor. Show the evidence, okay? There's a trail of money in Barça's case, and there's no evidence that has come out yet for Real Madrid, but there's plenty of people talking about it, trying to open up about it, but then quickly get shut down, okay? In some cases, it doesn't. Some cases, these rumors then lead to entire investigations, hence where we are today with Fútbol Club Barcelona. Again, if guilty, the club or the presidents and or whatever should suffer the 100% the consequences. And I want a full investigation to take place in these allegations that not just Villarejo, a former commissioner of the national police that has been involved with the most biggest cases of political corruptions within Spain, that is a deeply flawed and corrupt country. Okay. He's been convicted of a criminal as well, because the guy is not clean, but in certain cases he has shed light that has led to, certain people, politicians, judges, et cetera, being brought down. And I want the same case. I want the same to happen now with Real Madrid. If not just the confessions or these rumors or these statements of Villarejo, but others as well, let's get to the bottom of it. Let's get to the bottom of it. And why did I say that the motto of this two-parter or this pod is going to be the truth lies somewhere in the middle? Is because that is quite frankly what I do think, Ian. I think the truth of all of this lies somewhere in the middle. I don't think there's one squeaky clean Florentino Pérez on one end that has never done anything when he is the most feared and powerful man of the Iberian Peninsula. Okay. And, nor do I think maybe that all of this stuff that is being leaked is 100% true, as is being proven in the case of Villarejo, where he's had some hits and some misses. I want to get to the bottom of it. I want to get to the bottom of it.
Truth is somewhere in the middle is my motto, bro. But you're talking about like all these people who are trying to talk about this and get shut down. No one's shutting you down. You don't even have to talk about it. You just have to provide proof and evidence. That's it. Like, that's all. Like, no one's going to, if Villarejo comes out and shows real evidence, Florentino can't do shit. Like, he can't take a legal action against that if there's real evidence that this was happening, right? And I'm with you, because you've said this about Barca. I'll say it about Real Madrid. I'll say, if there is proof that Real Madrid have done this, I'll be the first Madrid to stand up and be like, expose them all, take them down, punish us. Like, that's what justice is. That's what justice entails. But again, like, all these words mean nothing to me. This is very similar. This is why I just don't get involved in this UFO business, because it's the same thing. It's just a bunch of words, like Villarejo. It's like a bunch of words. What are you talking about, dude? Why are you talking so much? Just show the evidence that you supposedly have, so we can just skip all the talking. That's my point. So I just don't. That's why I think this guy's a bit of a lunatic, and that's why I don't think Real Madrid would go. And also, this is the thing. You talk about this untouchable Florentino, and Tebas has said it. Other people have said it, the power and stuff. You talk about it as
everybody
if
it, says it.
You talk about it as if it's some kind of illegal thing to have power and influence. You can have opinions about like your own ethical compass and the way you do, but like, as if power is illegal and influence is illegal. Like, that's not illegal.
What do they say? Power does what? Power corrupts, right? That's what they say. That's the saying. Power corrupts.
Words. A lot of people, I'm sure, are jealous of power too.
I'm not gonna. Sure.
If you had the power, influence, and money of Florentino, would that automatically make you corrupt?
I think
I'm not saying Florentino's a saint, by the way. That's what I'm saying. But there's a difference between like our judgment on moral character and legal things.
I think there's an overwhelming amount of instances where we have seen that Florentino's abuse of the power that he has, like his use abuse of the power that he, as an individual and as a businessman and as the president, standing president of Real Madrid, his use of that power that has it's just another league. He jumps over legal loopholes through them, rather, that others just can't because of they don't have that same power. So, you know, and for you to not want to see that or not want to hear that, I don't know exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. Because it's so
I just feel like you talk
so evident. It's so evident because so many people come out and say so many things about it.
Like, and yet nothing. Still nothing but words. And just
the most recent
and,
one.
And to me, it just sounds like jealousy of like they wish they had the Florentino power. Again, I'm not saying Florentino's the same.
The ones in power, of course, the ones that in human nature, right, to seek power. I mean, not in all of us, but we are, as a tribe, as a people, just power-hungry species. We want to conquer. We want to rule. And those that don't will try to seek to overturn, but they can only get so far if that power is absolute, if that power is all supreme and reigning over, everybody. I mean, it's a dictatorship in that sense. When I said the last dictator standing, is a dictatorship is very hard to overturn. There's no democracy.
Hold on. The backup man. You just called Florentino Perez a dictator. Do you know what a dictator is, bro?
Oh yeah. Well, I'm not the only one. I say it. I say it symbolically, dude. I'm not the only one. He has changed the statuses of the Real Madrid of the club to become president in ways that is basically makes it impossible for anyone to be eligible to be a president of Real Madrid. That's not me saying that. Okay, I'm quoting other people. All right. Now when we engage in these conversations, I don't. Like, first of all, I didn't want to get into it.
When he puts forth those proposals, that has to be voted and approved on by the socios, right?
Right.
So it's not like here's the law and it's what I say. It's literally a democracy.
And as a Madrid fan or a member or fan anywhere, you're delighted with that kind of power because when the wind blows in your direction, well, let's keep it going. I mean, why would you want to change things? Why would you want to make it a more level playing field? Doesn't make sense. Everybody knows who Florentino Pérez is. Everybody knows who Florentino Pérez is, Gian. Like call it sourness, whatever. Like, set the memes loose, bro.
There's no memes. This is what it is. All I'm hearing from you, and by you I mean like, I don't know, the generalization of you and all these people who are saying these things about Florentino. All I hear is Florentino is this big, bad, evil, powerful man, and yet there's been nothing but those words. There's been nothing. Like, if all these things you're saying about Florentino were true.
Kian, the problem is whenever I bring something up, you laugh at me. You call me a conspiracy theorist. The wolves on Twitter, like your minions.
Of course I do, because you're just saying words. That's it.
Now also on Instagram, I'm not saying words.
I don't care about words, bro. I don't care about words.
People, whistleblowers. So there's not always like factual like Excel sheets of evidence or Photoshops or I mean not Photoshop, PowerPoints or what is it you want? Sometimes it's just the words of people who have
not
gone
enough
through these things.
Not enough.
Okay. Well, there you go. So you're blind to the evidence that is actually being. You want to turn your back.
Evidence
to
is not
that are actually
proof.
Trying to come out and tell you something.
again, whistleblowers who say that aliens are here. Like anybody can, like I can tomorrow, I can be a whistleblower for
I
this
get it. I
podcast.
get it.
I can say
Okay,
Diego
I
has a
get it.
big green
Right,
dick,
right.
and it was sent from a different planet. And I'm
I
take
told
my
you not
word
to
for
tell
it.
anybody that. I
You don't
told you that
believe
in
me? You're
confidence.
naive. You're a
I
sheep.
told you that in com Now you're betraying my trust as your confidant,
Show
as
the
your half
green dick,
brother.
bro.
All
Show
right. Okay.
it.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, when I tell you about referees coming out and talking about receiving phone calls or gifts, or referees talking about being pushed into a room by Florentino himself and being pressured, or other referees be getting phone calls saying that they need to, call a little bit more in favor of Real Madrid, or presidents of La Liga talking about how power like that Florentino is indestructible, undefeatable. Or let me put it this way: when you read that even the city of Madrid basically bends the rules, the laws, to favor Real Madrid in certain sales of public property. The most recent case, okay? The most recent, and I'm talking about the Torres. You know about all this, right? You know about the towers in Madrid. You know about that. You know about the whole the Ciudad this Esportiva. You know about the public parkings. Do you or no or not?
Are you going all the way
Have you
back
read
to
about that?
2000?
No. Yeah. The public parkings. Do you, like, for example, now with the, I'll give you a very, very dumb but still in my eyes meaningful example. Okay, so apparently I read this. The station, the metro station, to the closest to the Bernabeu. It's called Bernabeu.
The
I
new one
forget
they're
what the
building?
station is called. Right, the new one they're building. So
Yeah.
that is being funded, right? That, like, Madrid is not paying for that.
Of course not. It's a city. The
And
city is.
no,
Why would Real
yes,
Madrid
okay,
fund
great. The
for
city is.
that?
The city
Yeah.
is. Okay. So, but apparently it's going to be like this extension of the club. Right, it's going to be this whole sort of museum, like with images and yada yada yada.
Oh, so
No,
evil.
no. Does Atletico get that? Does Atletico get that? Do Getafe get that? Do Rayo get that? Does I'm telling you right now, Barca would have to pay from their own pocket to get something done on the metro stations closest to the city. That would not be funded by the city. There's a lot of help, dude, like public help that Madrid get
This
as
is.
well because of the good relations between the politicians of Madrid and Florentino Pérez, the sitting president of Real Madrid, that give Madrid a head start or an added benefit to other towards other clubs
You talk
in
about
Spain.
good relationship as if it's a bad thing to have a good relationship. Like what? So what? So
It's not.
this
I
is.
don't say that. I'm saying
This
it's
is.
not a level playing field. I'm saying
What?
it's not a level playing field.
This is literally democracy, bro,
What?
and
How is that
capitalism. Listen,
democracy?
no, listen, bro. Right or wrong, this is the way the world works. If a company does something and proposes something that is beneficial to the whole community, such as the case with this new metro station that is going to help with the flow of the traffic in the city, it's going to help with decongesting traffic to a very, very busy area, especially now with the new stadium and all the events that are happening there. That is completely to the benefit of the city. This is standard anywhere in the world. The city will fund that. And I'm not going to speak about every example about Getafe and Atletico because honestly, I'm not informed on the subject enough to know that. But in every metro station, there is a theme in Madrid. So, for example, in Goya, in that metro station, they will have things in there about the Goya metro station and the history about that area. There's, whether it's art or little like kind of explanations. So why wouldn't the Santiago Bernabéu station, that's what it's called, have something about the Bernabéu and Real Madrid? Well, because it fits the theme. I don't see anything wrong with that. Like that can't be your example as to why Florentino is evil.
I that was one of four that I gave you. I gave you the public parkings, the torres, all the things. And thing is, I don't want to get into this. Do you know that they funded the purchases of Figo? Without that money, Florentino could have never, an aspiring president at the time, hold, you know, go out to a Figo and purchase him with that money that he didn't have at that moment. That money came from the city of Madrid. That, again, this is well known. That it's called one of the big disgraces that I talked about on the podcast as well, that even the biggest Madridista, the journalist García at the time, said this is one of the biggest scandals or biggest manchas, the biggest stains on Real Madrid as a club, the fact that public money was used to purchase players. So, you know, but the thing is,
I don't know exactly what you mean by that. You
don't know exactly what I mean?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, then. I need to send you some more things to read, my friend. Like, I don't know. I can't have...
No, just explain what you mean.
When it's just being dismissed as conspiracy.
Because we all know the story of the Figo transfer. We all watched the doc. We read the books. We were alive during the time. We know the pre-guarantees and the whatever you want to think about him, the smart way that Florentino, who was a nobody at that time, to the point where Figo's camp laughed at Florentino and was like, yeah, sure, just accept the promise because this guy is a nobody. He's not going to win. We know how Florentino kind of secured every side of the deal. I don't know what you mean when the government funded Luis Figo's transfer. I don't know what that means. We have to go to part two.
Jose Maria García had a conversation with the sitting president Aznar at the moment, at that time. We're talking...
The journalist?
Year 2000, I imagine, right? That's when he came to power. Yes, Jose Maria García. Where Aznar told him, he basically checked him and said, look, we need to help Real Madrid. Who at the time had almost a debt of 300 million.
Yeah, thanks to Lorenzo Sanz.
Oh, fuck. Okay, right. Okay, it's...
Jose Maria Garcia.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, one of those who does hate Florentino, by the way.
There's a paywall on this article. Right, but who is a massive Madridista. The reason why he dislikes Florentino Pérez is because of his ways, because of his business ways, because of his shrewd and immoral, if you will, in some aspects, in some ways, his business practices. He was in strong disagreement with Florentino Pérez.
Great. Doesn't make him a criminal just because he disagrees with it.
No, okay, I'm trying to look up this goddamn thing now. The thing is, Kian, I don't like it that you bring this up and that you make me go to this and have to, like, fumble.
I'm so sorry for asking you to bring evidence to the table, bro.
Hold on. Let me give it a shot, though.
We got part two. We got
to
start part two.
You do bring it to the table, and then... There's too much to read here, and I'm not going to read it off the spot. You have Google... Dig into it yourself.
Sure.
You're writing a goddamn book about Real Madrid.
I haven't found anything yet.
I will send it to you. and we will discuss it on the goddamn pod next time. To all you listeners, enjoy trolling the fuck out of me, as always. He got me again.
Bodied.
Smacked down again.
Bodied.
Yeah. Bodied. Another one.
Just send it to the messy brigade. They'll come after it.
Fuck's sake. I've yet to see any of that. There's no ningún puto rastro. There's no sign of any of them. Let's move over because we got to keep going.
Coming up on part two, Kian and Diego fight it to the death with swords and guns and grenades. Patreon.com/churros y tacticas. See you there, my friends. Diego, see you in 10 seconds. Peace out.
Yeah. Peace. Sports Social Podcast Network.